Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On today's Saturday news, Roman fires Heyman.
We've got new info on WWE contracts.
Darby and Cora shoot from the hip on Twitter.
And we've got some details about the AEW Owen Hart Cup. Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan and Salty Sea Dog, of course, to talk all things wrestling. But make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment down below what you think of all of today's news stories, and links to each story is in the description, so click the timestamps and off you go. But first up, Gareth, what have we got?
We're going to talk about a certain tribal chief doing very, not reckless things, but just lashing out a little bit. Because obviously he wasn't on SmackDown last week. He was off, in kayfabe terms, he was off doing a Samoan boot camp to get ready for his match against Brock Lesnar. So he came back this week and obviously seen or at least heard what had gone down with Heyman, with Lesnar. Like, he pretty much like went through the greatest hits with Lesnar at one point last week. He wasn't very happy about it, and he started asking him again. He was like, did you know about SummerSlam? Did you know about his suspension being lifted and Madison Square Garden, all these different things? And Heyman was like, no, I'm sorry. And he said, I'm only doing what I'm doing right now. All this stuff, I'm only doing it to protect you from Brock Lesnar. And that was a big old cardinal sin that then resulted in Roman Reigns hugging Paul Heyman. We're like, okay, they just have a nice moment. And they said, sorry, Paul, you're fired. Punched him in the face. Big Superman punch, then set him up for a concerto, but then Mr. Lesnar's music popped up. He'd come out of a limousine at one point, like last night, and that was the big shocking twist. Like, Paul Heyman was waiting for Roman, but then Lesnar turned up and everyone was like, oh, they have a 7-8. And then he came down to the ring, he battered the Usos, he battered Roman, and we've got a nice bit of spice, bit of sauce to add to this big old day one main event thing that's going to go down between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. Now it's looking like Paul Heyman's going to be in Brock Lesnar's corner. Or is this just a massive swerve and a way to get under, like, well, behind enemy lines with Brock Lesnar, make him trust Paul Heyman, then they throw a big swerve again at day one? I may be overthinking this. It's a Saturday morning. My brain is melting.
You never know, though. You never know. I did really like this, though. I like the way they both played it off. Like, when they were hugging and embracing, he's like, thank you for all your years of service, but you're fired. And then the way he just kind of turned around and Paul Heyman was just kind of stood there like, woo, like just waiting for the Superman punch to hit him. Like, what's happening? I don't know what's happening. They both played it off really well. But yeah, shot in the arm for this feud. I'm going to have to wait and see where it goes. I assume Paul Heyman's going to rejoin with Brock Lesnar, but maybe Brock Lesnar doesn't want him anymore. Maybe he's just been toying with them both, especially since Lesnar's like full on face now, and I am loving Farmer Lesnar. It's absolutely fantastic. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see where this goes. Is Brock just playing with them? Has Heyman rejoined? Is it all a weird little master plan of Roman Reigns all along? You're just going to have to watch to find out. Next up, we have some new info on WWE contracts. Now, this is a little interesting note about them coming from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And he has a quote from someone identified as a key player within the WWE system. So it came as kind of part of a write-up about Kevin Owens' new contract. Obviously, we've reported that he's re-signed with WWE. He's got like a 3-year deal with a no-cut clause, supposedly, protecting him from WWE ending the contract early. But Meltzer's source about this deal, they've kind of confirmed about the sort of $2 to $3 million range of the kind of the number, the how much the contract is worth per year. But they've got a little quote from him about the contract specifically. And they say that it's in line with what I heard talking about the sort of money deal of it. Someone in his position who can come in and out of the main events, upper mid-card, will make that level at this time, but he won't get the 90-day clause waived. He wasn't going to get more money. The 2 to 3 million a year range is so blinding to people that they sign, not realizing it's just a 90-day contract that renews every day at WWE's sole discretion. It's how they got Wyndham Rotunda. He was going to get 3 mil for a 3-year term. WWE wanted a 5-year term. He held off on the 3-year, and then they itched it towards 4 years, and then he jumped at it. But still, at the end of the day, it's still just a 90-day contract that he was on. And with the higher number, it takes less and less for WWE to trigger that release if they feel like things aren't going their way, basically. So these contracts, they may sound long-term, and they may have big fancy numbers in there that people get blinded by, but they are definitely not long-term for WWE and seem very precarious for the talents. I guess contract is a very loose term over there in WWE.
Yeah, and it's quite disheartening to hear when you hear Kevin Owens' reasons for signing in particular, because that's the big story right now, the big buzzworthy thing. And he pretty much said that he chose to sign back on with WWE because of his family. He wants to look after his family, feels like he's part of the furniture, feels loyal to the company right now. And then to hear this, which it's not necessarily something massively breaking news, it's something we all pretty much suspected anyway, but to pretty much hear it in writing that, yeah, this is a day-to-day thing that WWE could pull the trigger on at any point just to, like, let go of KO. And like they did similarly with Braun Strowman. He was higher up.
I was going to say exactly the same situation. He will have been on a big money contract, probably blinded by it, thinking he's got all these years to go, and then all of a sudden, nope, the turn down year, get out.
You may think it makes you more expendable, because if they suddenly do decide, okay, you're not worth the money,
yeah,
suddenly taking that big expense off the overall, like, wage packet, whatever it is, looks even better. It's like, oh, look at how much money we've just saved. So it's a real catch-22, this, and I'm concerned for KO, but hey, at least he's got options if things ever do hit the fan. He's got a nice little All Elite option down there. But speaking of the world of All Elite, one particular person from this massive competition, we're going to call it that, to WWE, one of the four pillars, many have said, Darby Allin, took to Twitter, I believe it was last night, and somebody said something about, oh, how would you feel about a skateboarding match one day with NXT 2.0's Cora Jade? Because obviously Cora Jade right now has got like a skateboarder, skater girl gimmick thing going down on the multicolored brand. And Darby Allin's also got his own skateboarding thing where he just chooses to kill himself on it. And he responded to this by saying, skating is a huge part of my life, not a fake character for TV. Lol. So yeah, shots fired straight away there. Bit unnecessary, some could say. Bit unnecessary. Yeah, and Jade saw this and
big
also felt the same way. Yeah, she pulled out her shooting rifles. And I'm not sure if she quote tweeted or if she just tweeted it out in general. She said, being a good person with no abuse allegations against me is a huge part of my life and not just the character I play on TV. She refrained from putting lol because it was not a laughing matter. It was a serious burn. And Cora then, obviously she was referring to the allegations that were made against Darby during the whole, like, speaking out stuff that happened last year. And this is because indie worker Holly Cromwell had accused him of physical and sexual abuse. And it's also worth mentioning that Jade once tagged with Cromwell on the independent circuit before she, like, jumped into WWE, so obviously there's a connection, a bond there. And it's an odd one because both people did decide to delete the tweets after they sent them out, so it's not been made known whether they actually spoke about it in private and said, well, it's probably not the best look to have this out there, let's just talk about it, like, ourselves, or if they both just individually said, no, not a good look, this, we're just gonna take it off. But for me, Cora Jade's come out of this smelling like absolute roses. She's like conducted herself really well in this, and the internet in general just seems to kind of coincide with that. Darby, what were you thinking, dude? Like, it's just you weren't gonna win in this situation, and Cora's just, yeah, absolutely fired off.
I love this so much. Darby just thought he could have a little pop there on Twitter and get a few little internet points, and then there she is with a bloody shotgun shooting him in the face with internet points. Huge fan of this. Cora Jade's reply to it was absolutely perfect, absolutely spot on, like measured, but just perfect. It was really good. It's a shame she had to delete it for whatever reasons. But yeah, she's come off of this 100% looking like the winner, and it's hilarious, and suck it, Darby Allin, I guess.
Most over baby face in NXT. There you go, right.
Yeah, 100%. Massive Cora Jade fan from now on. So yeah, moving over, staying with AEW a bit, I guess they announced on Rampage that there will be two Owen Hart Cup tournaments, one for the men, one for the women, and that they will both kick off in May of 2022. So they're going big with this Owen Hart Cup thing that they're going to have. Both of the finals as well are going to be held at Double or Nothing, with the trophies being presented by Martha Hart on the show. And it's all going to be co-promoted with the Owen Hart Foundation charity. And it all just seems like a really, really bloody lovely way to pay tribute to Owen Hart. It seems like as well they're really not rushing this. They're sort of setting it in, they're just doing it slowly, and it looks like they're going to do it right. There's apparently going to be more info about it on Dynamite next week, so we might see some opening brackets or maybe more info on how the tournament's going to work, whether it's like a week-to-week thing or what's going to happen there. And yeah, like I say, it's just a lovely way to pay tribute to Owen Hart. It all seems to be going well. And yeah, they're just taking the time with it, and it should be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah, it is quite refreshing. I think we've been conditioned up to this point that whenever a tournament is announced, like, it needs to happen today or yesterday, what's happening? Like, it just kind of comes out there, and then within a week it's started up. But with AEW, it just feel like, I think with the TBS tournament and this one in particular, they just sat back and go, no, we'll do it at our own pace, and we'll get this. So everyone gets like the time to shine, it gets the right amount of hype, it gets people's attention. The word of mouth already with this tournament, people get, oh my god, when's this thing gonna happen? So when it actually does finally land, it's gonna have a lot of hype behind it, which it needs. It deserves this kind of this legacy tournament that's gonna happen. So yeah, very much looking forward to it. Great move, and I kind of want it to be Double or Nothing by now. What's going on? We've still got another pay-per-view before that. It's madness.
It is good. No, I like it. I hope they do something a little bit different with it. Maybe make it like a mix of a sort of G1 style points tournament with like a final playoffs or something kind of thing. I think that would be kind of an interesting and new way of doing it. But we're just going to have to wait and find out. I love it. But we're going to move over to your Twitter questions. And speaking of the Owen Hart Cup tournament, we have a question from the Brazilian Air on Twitter. He says, morning legends, first off, thank you for being you. You're most welcome. And he goes on to say, after the announcement on Rampage, who are your top picks for the inaugural winners of the Owen Hart Cup, male and female? And he's got a picture of Shorcy. Lovely dog.
Very cute. Very cute. I think it's a tough one for either one, because you can either go for the technical workhorse, which feels like a real salute to Owen Hart. You just go for a rising star prospect who could use the win. And for me, I'm going to go for the latter. For the men's side, I'm going to go for Wardlow. And for the women's side, I'm probably going to go in a similar vein, and I'm going to go Ty Conti, because I want to see just judo throw everyone into oblivion.
Nice. Yeah, we were talking about this just before the news video started, and we somehow got to Wardlow versus MJF in the finals. And MJF, like, just saying, like, oh, yeah, you throw it for me, like, lie down or whatever. And then that's when Wardlow finally turns on him and absolutely destroys him in the finals and wins. 100% be up for that now. I was going to say, like, a Dante Martin or a Jungle Boy or something, like a good young face. But I think that Wardlow thing is perfect. It works. I like it. So I'm going to go with Wardlow too. But I'm going to go with Thunder Rosa for the women, just because I think they should give Thunder Rosa absolutely everything, because I love her. She's great.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'll be here for that as well. Yeah, love Thunder Rosa.
Next question, also about AEW, comes from It's Mel D on Twitter. How far do you think the House of Black will go in AEW once it's officially revealed that Brody King, just speculating it's him, but fairly sure it is, was the one who was initiated during that promo on Dynamite?
It can go as far as it needs to go at this point, because if you look at Malakai Black, he's similar to, you look at a Bray Wyatt that will win the Rotunda, where it's just a bottomless pit of creativity, and you feel like he's going to keep evolving this gimmick and keep adding new elements to it, and you get people like Brody King coming in there as well just to reinforce him. I think we could have a real dynasty stable. I know obviously AEW is the land of stables, there's too many stables apparently, but I think this one, it's got something different. It's got a supernatural element, which is so hard to pull off in modern wrestling, because we're just a cynical bunch nowadays. And I think they're doing it brilliantly right now. I think the venom spitting in Julia Hart's face, like things like that, the mist, I think like that worked again, added another just despicable layer to the Malakai Black character. And I'm curious to see where this ends, if he does eventually go after a world title or something like that. I think he's definitely been strongly positioned still, like he's not necessarily picked up any serious losses or like really damaging losses, I'd say, up to this point. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But I'd like to think it could culminate in a massive world title win and then just this demonic stable just running roughshod over AEW for a couple of months.
Yeah, would be quite good. Yeah, I'm game for this going a bit further. I was trying to think of like names of people that you could bring in, and I'm not entirely sure who they could add to this mix at this minute, but Brody King seems to make the most amount of sense. I kind of hope they keep it as just a tag team for a little bit, and then after they've done like a sort of 6-month run as a tag team or something, then introduce someone new and then go on a run with those three, maybe a trios run or something, and then introduce someone new and then like elevate Malakai Black up to the sort of top roster position of the stable kind of thing. Maybe just slowly grow it rather than chucking loads of people in right at the very beginning.
I think you should throw Abaddon in there personally. It's just
yeah, there you go. Why not?
Be a brilliant new element to throw into that.
I would be game for that region. As well. But yeah, hopefully it does well, because Malakai Black's been hit and miss, I guess, on AEW so far with the stories he's had. Some of it's been great, like the Cody stuff at the beginning was really fun, and other bits have just been a bit okay, I guess.
Just there, really.
Yeah, so hopefully it's something he can get his teeth into and like actually start something. And I'm fine with them having more stables. More stables, the better for me. But the final question comes from number four at... on Twitter, just says number four. Do you think GCW will continue this winning streak through 2022?
I hope so, because more competition and more, like I think we said this the other week, more variety in wrestling is just always a good thing. And I think right now, the hype that GCW has around it and the people that they've got constantly popping up and just causing chaos, it's getting attention on the independents again, which is, obviously with what's happened over the last year or so, it's been absolutely... wrecked, and
yeah.
it's been on its knees. So seeing promotions like this finally get a bit more buzz around them again, I'm always going to be for this. I think it helps everyone involved.
Yeah, I think between WWE hiring everyone they possibly could sort of back in 2018-2019, and then AEW starting, and then COVID happening, like the independents has had a huge hit in terms of the amount of talent available and the amount of shows going on and things like that. But now hopefully, like, it's... Whoa, calm down. Salty doesn't like independent wrestling.
No fan. Corporate all the way.
Be quiet. Calm down. It's just the postman. Stop being such terrifying. A cliche. So yeah, one of the kind of silver linings, I guess, of WWE releasing so many people is that there's now a massive talent pool available there for the independent wrestling. And I think in 2022, hopefully we'll see a big explosion again in independent wrestling, and the sort of scene will be solid and have lots of talent, and there's going to be some exciting stuff going on. Plenty of people with chips on their shoulders going off to try and prove something in the independents. And hopefully, like, GCW is a big part of that with, like, the kind of the king of the independents at the minute. And also, on this line, we've got a cheap plug. We're interviewing Matt Cardona on Tuesday next week, so that will be out at some point next week on the channel, where we will no doubt talk about his run in GCW, which has been fantastic, I must say.
And all of his time in developmental over in that big company in Stamford.
Love it. He's on a roll. But that is it for the news video. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want, you can follow us over on Twitter. You can follow me at PhilMyChambers, and you can follow Gareth
at GMorgan04.
And you can follow Salty Sea Dog at PhilMyChambers, because it's pretty much just pictures of him, let's face it. And you can follow all of us at WorldCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment down below what you think of all of today's stories, and ups and downs for Rampage and SmackDown are coming up later on today, so make sure you check those out. And we've got more quizzes, so watch all the quizzes. We've got Wrestling Chase, and we've got Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that's just going up. Go watch that too, because it's really fun. And more Wrestling Chase is coming next week, possibly, as well. So exciting things. Make sure you click on them all, because it's all good. But most importantly, this is my last news video of the year. So have yourselves a lovely Christmas. Have yourselves a lovely New Year. And I will catch you on the flip side, as they say.
Exactly. Merry New Year, everyone.
Yeah,
bye now.
God bless us, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.